Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Methodist 12-hour apostolic Sabbath Turn Congregation, Mount South of 12-hour. In the Elgin, Texas, today is April 15, 2023. It is the 25th day of Abib 2027. We will start our first service today with a song. It is Well With My Soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, and sorrows like sea billows roll, oh, over my life has taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. Oh, Satan, shut up, no power should come. The deathless assurance control. The just has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. I sing, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear no more. Praise the Yahshua, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And yeah, it's the day when the faith shall be signed, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Yahshua shall be stand. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Okay, our sermon for today is Two Times Greetings, Volume 5. It's the name of the sermon is that a feast that rolls away the veil opens the gates and causes death to flee away. So we just put down the title, A Feast That Rolls Away the Veil. That's enough for the title. We're going to now go into Amos chapter 1 for our prayer talk. Let's see what Amos says here about the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Because Adventist Church, anytime you see that word, Edom, when you see that word Edom, that's a prophecy that's talking about this last day Laodicea Israel, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Mount Edom. She's the Seventh Day Adventist Church today. She's the one that apostatized. Okay, it says that in Amos chapter 1, verse 1, for the words of the Amos who was among the herdsmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the day of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. Okay, and he said, for the Yeshua will roar from Zion. Oh, well, this is talking about the son, Yeshua. He's going to roar from Zion. Now, this has been a latter-day prophecy. It says, and utter his voice from Jerusalem. Okay, now, the only Zion that's working right today is Mount Zion at the 12th hour. And that's the one that's in its mustard seed stage, Matthew 13:31. We're in that stage, just like a grain of mustard seed, with that little stone in Daniel 2:44-45 that's hewn out of the mountain without hands that strikes the image representing the globalist Illuminati system, strikes that image on the feet of all nations. That belongs to the beast and grows into a mountain and fills the whole earth. And you can read about that mountain in Isaiah 2 and Micah 4. Okay, and especially Daniel 2. Okay, it says in verse 2 of Amos 1, it says, and he said, for the Yeshua will roar from the Zion. That's in the parabolic hour, the 12th parabolic hour, and that's the hour we're in. And so he would have to be here on earth if he's going to roar from Zion, because this is where this Zion is at, right here on earth, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. The top of Carmel shall wither. But did you know what the top of Carmel was in our day? And that Carmel is a shepherd's rod. That was where the shepherd's rod had their headquarters at Mount Carmel of Waco, Texas, from 1934 till 55 or 59. And the top of Carmel shall wither. So V.T. Holliff being the prophet, and that he died in 1955 after he had been there for 25 years, the prophet, the head of Mount Carmel, and when he died, well, what do you think? It says in Zechariah 13:7, it says, smite the shepherd. It says, smite the shepherd. And see what happens. Zechariah. Well, I can't readily turn to it for some reason. Okay, I think it's Zechariah 13:7. It says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow. For it says to Yahshua the host. This is Yahshua, the son, talking. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. Okay, so V.T. Holliff, the shepherd of Carmel, he was smitten in 1955. He died. And so the Yahshua, the host, has smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And indeed, they scattered all over the world. I mean, they got shepherd rod leaders are in Africa today. That's got their own church there in those nations of Africa. And they scattered all over the world. Fulfilling that. Okay. Amos chapter 1. It says, this saith Yahshua. This is the son talking. For three transgressions of Damascus, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Because they have threshed Gilead with the threshing instruments of iron. And now Gilead was the third feeding pasture for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And that's where I spent 33 and a half years. Because Brother Eddie Johnson is the prophet head of the Candlestick of Laodicea, Seventh-day Adventist Church. He was the minister of that candlestick. And so Mount Gilead was nothing but Davidian Seventh-day Adventists. They're called Branch, B-R-A and C. Branch Davidian Seventh-day Adventists. That's really our technical title there at Kermit, where I was at for 33 and a half years. Branch Davidian Seventh-day Adventists at Mount Gilead in Kermit, Texas, with the threshing instruments of God. But I will send a fire into the house of Hazel, okay, which shall devour the palaces of Benedad. I will break also the bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitants from the plain of Aven, and him that holdeth the scepter from the house of Eden. And the people of Syria shall go into captivity unto Kir, saith Yahshua. Thus saith Yahshua, for three transgressions of Gaza, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them up unto Edom. As I said earlier, Edom in prophecy is the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour the palaces thereof. And I will cut off the inhabitants from Ashdod, and him that holdeth the scepter from Ashkelon. And I will turn mine hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, saith Yahshua. Thus saith Yahshua, for three transgressions of Tyrus, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they delivered up the whole captivity unto Edom, and remembered not the brotherly covenant. What is the brotherly covenant? That's your everlasting covenant. Okay, same thing as that everlasting gospel in Revelation 14. It says, but I will send a fire on the wall of Tyrus, which shall devour the palace thereof. Thus saith Yahshua, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother with the sword. And so who is that? That was Esau and Jacob. Esau threatened Jacob with death, and running out of the country, running out of his father's house, after his brother stole his birthright and got the blessing. And Esau ran him out of the country. He ran him out of Israel. And did cast off all pity, and his anger did terror perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. But I will send a fire upon Teman, which shall devour the palaces of Bozrah. Thus saith the Yahshua, for three transgressions of the children of Ammon, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have ripped up the women with child of the Gilead, that they might enlarge their border. But I will kindle a fire in the wall of Rabbah, and it shall devour the palaces thereof, with the shouting in the day of the battle, with the tempest in the day of the whirlwind. And their king shall go into captivity, and his princes together, said the Yahshua. Okay, there's a lot of stuff there not readily understand, like we need to, but we had some key things there dealing with our day, especially with Edom. And so if you want to tie Edom in, go to the book of Obadiah and read Obadiah. And it's the next book from Amos. And it says in Obadiah, there's only one chapter, it says in verse start with verse 18. And the house of Jacob, let's start with verse 17. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. Now this Mount Zion is who we are, Mount Zion the 12th hour. And we're living in the last days, when everything now is harvest and deliverance. Upon Mount Zion shall be the deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possession, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire. That's who we are. House of David, same thing as the house of Jacob. And the house of Joseph, that's your 10 tribes in the north, because it's called Israel, a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. So who is Esau? He's the king of Mount Edom, which is, in the last days, translates in that he's the president, or he's the head of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Okay, and the Seventh-day Adventist Church shall be for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau. That's Ezekiel 9. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau. And who is of the south? That's the line of the tribe of Judah. He's in the south. And who is he? He's the head of the shepherd's rod. And they of the plain, the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim, and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. Benjamin was the doorkeeper for Judah. Judah was Yahweh's lawgiver. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. And saviors, 144,000, there was a first fruits harvest out of the Adventist Church in the 12th parabolic hour, shall come upon the Mount Zion, come upon this Mount Zion in the 12th hour, for the judging of the Mount of Esau. Now Esau was the one that had the birthright, that inherited the birthright, over his brother Jacob, and he lost it to Jacob, and the kingdom shall be the Yashir's. Okay, so all this is going to take place in the 12th parabolic hour. And this everlasting kingdom of heaven, Daniel 2:44 and 44:5, that kingdom is going to be the Yashir's. Now it says there in Luke chapter 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Luke chapter 1, verse 32-33. Okay, let's look at it. Luke 1:32 and 33. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and that's Yahshua. And the Yahshua and the Father Yahweh shall give unto him, Yahshua his son, the throne of his earthly father David. And you're going to go over to Mark 5:7 there. I think it says the same thing. Okay, it says, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Yahshua, thou son of the Most High Yahweh? I adjure thee, my Yahweh, that thou torment me not. That the Father Yahweh. Okay, it was this here demoniac that was acknowledging Yahshua, the son of the Most High. So now we go to the prophecy of Isaiah. We go to Isaiah 9. Verse 6 to 8, and let's go read it. Isaiah 9, verse 6 to 8, for unto us a child is born, that's Yahshua, unto us a son is given, and the government, the theocratic government, theocracy, church and state, during the last days, in the 12th parabolic hour, this government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called a Wonderful Counselor of the Father, the Almighty Father, Yahweh, as also as the everlasting Father, and we put the preposition with after that, with the Prince of the Peace, and that's Yahshua. Of the increase, verse 7, of the increase of his government, this is Yahshua's government, and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David. And we are occupying this throne of David, and the only thing that we'll be waiting for now is for Yahshua to, after we're purified, Yahshua cannot appear to us until after we're sanctified and purified at the Passover, and then we have to come to the purification at the Pentecost. And then Yahshua can appear in person to us, but he will not appear in the person until after that time. So it says, and he says, upon the throne of David, and that's when we'll be very well occupying the throne of David, because Yahshua is going to come, and after everybody's sanctified, he's going to take his seat upon that throne that we're in charge of. And upon his kingdom, to order it and for the establishing it with the judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, for the zeal of the Yahshua of the host. Now Yahshua is the Son. And the host is who? The 144,000. I will perform this. So it's going to take Yahshua and the 144,000 that's with him to perform this, what he has to do. And it says in verse 8, for Yahshua sent a word into Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. Jacob, okay, the father of the 12 patriarchs, the sons that he had, 12, that became a symbol of the 12 apostles at the cross, became a symbol of the 12 tribes of Israel, 144,000 in the last day. Okay, that's enough for prayer thought. All right, let's go now into two timely reading number 5. We're going to get into our sermon. This is a feast that rolls away the veil, opens the gates, and causes death to flee away. Well, this is what we're talking about. We come to the antipical Pentecost here in this harvest time of the 12th periodic hour. When that year comes, when that year finally comes, we'll be ready. We should be ready. We should be 100% purified even before that time comes. Well, the disciples had to be. They had to go into the upper room 10 days before Pentecost to confess and put away all their sins among each other and make sure that they didn't have one sin nowhere so they could receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. So they had to do that 10 days ahead of time. It says, prayer thought is taken from Yahshua's object lesson. It began at page 40 by Ellen G. White. Instead of discussing erroneous theories or seeking to combat the opponents of the gospel, follow the example of the Yahshua. Let fresh truth from the Yahweh's treasure house flash into the love. Preach the word. Sow beside all waters. The instant in season, out of season, he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat? Saith Yahshua. Every word of the Yahweh is pure. Add thou not unto his word, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. We should pray this afternoon for the ability for the following of the example of Yahshua and the teacher. For we should also pray that we shall remember that we are instructed not for the engaging in the debate with those who disagree with us, that Yahshua did not debate, and neither must we if we are to win, that the Yahweh will supply us with the fresh truth for the bringing unto the people, that if such truths do not convince the opposers of the everlasting gospel, and that word gospel simply should be exchanged for just that one word, truth. Every time you see that word gospel, just say, be truth. And then you think of Psalm 119:142, where it says, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. That's all you got to do. Nothing will, even if the dead should arise for a witness against them. That we exalt the Bible above all other books, that we measure all else with the Bible yardstick, and forever break all other measuring sticks. Okay, that's the end of the prayer thought. That was short and to the point. Okay, now we're going to get into the regular service. It says V.T. Holland gave on September the 6th, 1947, at the old Mount Carmel headquarters there in Wake Bowl, Texas. Okay, it says the text for our study is found in Isaiah 25 and 26, in order properly to orientate ourselves unto the subject matter, we shall begin with the sixth verse of chapter 25. Afterwards, we shall study the first five verses. Isaiah 25:6, and in this mountain shall Yahshua the host make unto all people a feast of the fat things, a feast of the wines on the lees, of the fat things, full of the marrow, and vines on the lees will we find. Now you find out this mountain is the same thing as that mountain in the prophecy of Daniel 2, 44 and 45. The mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be established in the top of the mountain. Oh no, that's Isaiah 2 and Micah 4, and Daniel 2, 44 and 45. So it says, first of all, we should find the truth of the figurative mountain. For this information, we must go to the last verse of the 24th chapter of the Isaiah, because the story of the 25th chapter begins with the previous chapter. We shall read these verses connectively. Isaiah 24, 23. Isaiah 25 and verse 6. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Yahshua of the host shall reign in Mount Zion. So when Yahshua comes down to this earth, he's going to take his a seat upon the throne of David. And that's the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver. That's who we are. And in Jerusalem, and before his ancients gloriously, there's going to be a resurrection of ancient Israel, the remnant back then. They're going to be resurrected. And in this mountain, Mount Zion, and I'll add the rest of it, at the 12th hour, or in the 12th hour, shall the Yahshua the host make unto all the people a feast of the fat things, a feast of the wines on the lees of the fat things, full of the marrow of the wines on the lees, well refined. Here you see that the Mount Zion in the 12th hour is the mountain on which the Yahshua will prepare a feast for all people, a feast of the tempting things. There will the people gather together, Isaiah 25:7, and he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all the people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. So all this false teaching here in the last days of all these different religions are teaching. Yahweh's going to destroy that out of Mount Zion, the 12th hour, the house of David. The house of David, which Yahshua comes and reigns on the throne in the house of David, that he's going to take away. He's going to pull that veil back. And the people of the world are going to be able to see the truth and its clarity. For the first time in these last days, he says, when the covering under which the nations now stand rolls away, then shall they find themselves in the open, vulnerable to wind and storm. Yes, when the veil which now hangs over all the peoples of the earth is pulled down, then shall they see that which they cannot now see. And what then? Question mark. Isaiah 25:8 again. He will swallow up death and victory. Okay, this is where all of those that's on this side of Pentecost, they have eternal life. Because death is swallowed up in victory. And where do you find that information at? You find that in Isaiah 15. There's about 57 verses in Isaiah 15. No. 1 Corinthians 15. It says, he will swallow up death in the victory, and the Asherah will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Asherah has spoken it, and it shall be said, and that day, lo, this is our Savior, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Yeshua, King of Israel. We have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Now, what salvation does he have? He has the blood, his own blood. Without the blood, it says in Leviticus 17:11, it says, the life is in the blood. So if you don't have the blood, you don't have no life. For in this mountain shall the hand of Yeshua rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. Moab, you know, are the descendants of Lot. Lot was a nephew to Abraham, and he was of the house of Abraham. But Lot pulled a bad deal there in Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And so Lot got in trouble. He ended up producing offspring that became Mount Moab, Mount Edom, or Mount Moab and Ammon. And they both turned against the seed of Abraham, Israel. And that's the reason why they're trodden down as a downhill. They were brethren. They were kinsmen. And they turned against them, Israel. To make these great events possible, not only the ones who at that time ruled the land, but Moab too, we see, shall be trodden down. And who could Moab be if not the Arabs, who now lay a heavy claim unto the land of the Palestine? Soon the world will find that Yahweh has not forsaken the earth, and that Yahweh is the master of the situation. Isaiah 25:11-12. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, and he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hand to swim, and he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands, and the fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall he bring down, lay low, and bring unto the ground, even unto the dust. These verses hold the fact before us that it matters not what kind of the fortification men may devise. Such shall nevertheless be brought down as a straw when the Yahshua manifests his power. Having now clearly seen this wonderful Bible truth, let it be you to say, Isaiah 25:1, O Yahshua, thou art my Savior. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. thy counsels of old are faithfulness and in the truth. I add the prepositional phrase in the truth. I should have said in the sanctuary truth. Here we are shown that as a result of this revealed truth, some will truly accept Yeshua of the Bible as their Redeemer by His blood. Once they see that it's through the blood of the everlasting covenant, that's Hebrews 13:20, and that's Hebrews 10, verse 19 and 20, and will pledge to exalt Him and ever to praise the wonderful name, because they see that He has done the wonderful thing. For His counsels of old will then not turn down, because they will know from the experience that the counsels are faithfulness and in the truth. For they will, from the personal experience, know that the Yahweh's power, know of the Yahweh's power, or about the Yahweh's power, and say, let's do that again, they will, from the personal experience, know of the Yahshua's power, the Son, and say, Isaiah 25:2-3, for thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of the strangers, to be no city, it shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee, for the city, with the city of the terrible nations, for the cities, for the city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. Yeah, for is a correct preposition. For the city of this first must be the one first mentioned in the Isaiah 24. For the city of the confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up, that no man may come in. Here is a crying for the wine in the streets. There it is right there. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. And the city is left desolation. And the gate is smitten with the destruction, and thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people. It shall be as the shaking of an olive tree, and as the clinging grapes when the vintage is done. For they, those who are not shaken down, shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of the Yahshua, for they shall cry aloud from the sea. Therefore glorify ye the Yahshua in the fire, even the name of the Yahshua, of the Israel in the isles of the sea. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, even glory unto the righteous. For as a result there shall be converse from the four corners of the earth. So we want this. We like converse, don't we? We like people come and say, oh, this is the truth. I want to worship with you. This is what we like to hear. And that's what we work for all of our lives. You know, I've worked for 53 years in the Adventist Church, for the Adventist Church. And I got a lot of Adventists to accept the truth along the way. But you know what? I don't have one of them with me today. After 53 years, they finally just weird away, and they're gone. Some's gone into the grave, so forth, but they're gone. But I said, my leanness, my leanness, woe unto me, the treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. Fear and the pit and the snare. are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. Isaiah 24:10-17. For the following quotation from the spirit of the prophecy as light unto these verses. I saw just as the light shining from the cities and villages, and from the highest places and the low places of the earth. For Yahweh's word was obeyed, and as a result there were memorials for him in every city and village. His truth was proclaimed throughout the world. Testimony, Volume 9, page 28 and 29. How do you like that statement from Ellen G. White? Who was those memorials? Catherine, my wife, taught us what memorials were, the Yahweh's memorials. That's his holy days. Passover, Pentecost, Atonement, New Moons, Sabbath, Seventh Day Sabbath. These are all memorials, Yahweh's memorials. In the land of Judah, we have a strong city. Salvation will the Yahweh appoint for walls and bulwarks. For the song for the majesty of the Yahshua is therefore to be sung in the promised land. And there will be saints, and there will the saints have a city that cannot be shaken down. For it is to have salvation for walls. Then it shall be said in Isaiah 26:2, open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth. Now you see that word truth? It could have said which keepeth the gospel, or it could have said which keepeth the plan of salvation, the blood of the everlasting covenant, and all of that. But no, they said which keepeth the truth. That told it all. I just like saying it keepeth the law. Law is a singular term word, but it's also plural. May enter in. Those that keep the truth may enter in. So it says, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Here is taught that all this takes place in the day of the salvation. What? And a day of the salvation. What day is that? That's in the harvest time. That's in the 12th parabolic hour, the last hour of probationary time. This is the day for final decision, for or against. And the day that the gates shall be opened for a righteous nation to enter in. This a whole nation of such as should be saved, not a sinner among them, shall then respond unto the call. Come out of her, my people, lest ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plague. Now this is the call to come out of Babylon that is has revolved into the Adventist church. So if you want to find where Babylon is at, just go into the Adventist church. Today. She's there. The other people have been called to come out of it. Isaiah 26:3-4. Thou wilt keep him in the perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusted in thee. Trust you in the Yahshua forever. For in the Yahshua is with the everlasting strength. Although throughout the years of the history, nations have developed great power, yet not one has retained that power forever. But we are here reassured that those who trust in the Yahshua shall have eternal peace and everlasting strength forever. Nothing can take away from once you obtain under this Pentecostal power, where you're on this side of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it means you have attained unto that everlasting peace. You can no more go, no more out. I just said, Isaiah 26:5-10. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, for the lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low even unto the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust, for the foot shall tread it down. Even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy, for the way of the just is in the uprightness. For thou, Most High, dost weigh the path of the just. Now, what does it say the path of the just is? As a shining light that shineth more and more to the perfect day. And that's in Proverbs 4:18. I say Proverbs. Yeah, I believe that's right. Yea, and the way of thy judgments, O Yahshua, have we weighed for thee. Now, this is Yahshua's judgment, the Son. For the desire of our soul is unto thy name, and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within thee will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the United States in prophecy is the earth, is called the earth, it's called the wilderness of the people. Also, Revelation 17, for the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be showed unto the wicked, yet shall he not learn righteousness in the land of the uprightness. Will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Yahshua? These verses plainly tell us that when the judgments of the Yahweh fall upon the earth, when the judgment falls upon the United States, that's where it starts at. The righteous minded will learn righteousness, but the unrepentant sinners will not learn righteousness, regardless of what is done for them. And this is why they are to be barred from the congregation of the righteous. Now, the righteous, however, even now feel Yahshua's mighty hand, and painfully they declare. And Isaiah 26:11. Yahweh, Yahshua, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Indeed, when the Yahweh's hand is lifted up, let's do that again. Indeed, when the Yahshua, the Son's hand is lifted up for the delivering of his people, and Yahshua, that's one of his titles, is deliverer. And that's the title of every one of Yahweh's servants, because they're also prophets with inspiration, and all his servants are deliverers. His people, the wicked, will not see it, but after the righteous are delivered, the wicked will clearly see and envy, but it shall be unto their shame and too late to do them any good. Even now, while the latter rain is falling, the self-righteous who imagine that they have need of the nothing are either running away from it or pulling their raincoats over their heads. For the seekers of the righteousness, though, come out in the open. Thus they learn to say, Isaiah 26:12, Yahshua, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. This can be said only by those who allow the Yahshua to perform his work in their hearts so that they may praise him. Isaiah 26:13-16. O Yahshua, our Redeemer, Savior, Deliverer, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Yeshua. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. For Yeshua and Chobah have they visited thee, where they poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. These verses declare that Israel of the promises, not the unbelieving Jew, have increased in the number since having been removed from their land, since having been scattered unto the ends of the earth, while the chastening, being driven away from their land, is still upon them. They pour out the prayer and say, Isaiah 26:17-18, like as a woman with a child that draweth near unto the time of her delivery, is in the pain and crieth out in her pain. So have we been in thy sight, O Yeshua. We have been with a child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Here is shown that the eyes of the penitent are to be opened. They are to see themselves as Yahweh sees them, and confess that they have hitherto failed in their efforts, that they have travailed, have been in pain, but have brought forth only wind, as it were, while the impenitent think that they themselves are rich and increased with goods, are doing a great deed, and are in need of nothing. Yes, the church may now boast of her achievement, or her so-called large membership, but not long hence will she too discover that she has failed to finish her work, that the world is still destroying the earth, that her people are unsaved, and that rather than having brought forth salvation, she has brought forth nothing but wind. That's all the evidence can say now after 175 years on the scene. All they brought forth is wind. And a mighty sifting soon to take place, we shall be better able for the measure of the strength of Israel. The sign revealed that the time is near when the Yeshua will manifest that his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his soul. Testimony, Volume 5, page 80. Isaiah 26:19. Thy dead men shall live together with thy dead body, with my dead body shall they arise, awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Not only the living, but the dead also shall be gathered into the strong city. We also hear the Asher pleading with us all, saying, Isaiah 26:20, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. Well, they sure can't go into the Adventist church and do that. This clearly shows that we are approaching the time of the trouble, and that Yahweh is anxious for the having us under cover, for the wise will hear him and will accept the chambers, the protection he provides for them. Isaiah 26:21, for behold, Yahshua cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. All these truths that the Yahweh is now bringing unto our attention point unto the one thing that the great and terrible day of Yahshua is at the hand, that he is soon to manifest his power and shake the earth, so that everything that cannot be shaken may stand. Are you not glad, brother, sister, that the Yahweh has given you first opportunity to get ready for the day of Yahshua? Actually, it's the sun, right? The day of Yahshua, to hold fast unto his ever-increasing truth. We got truth unfolding every minute as we open up to it. That's how I got my lesson for today. This brings in for our lesson says this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a psalm. It's not an easy road that we're traveling to heaven. It's not an easy road, we're traveling to heaven. For many are the thorns on the way. It's not an easy road, but the Savior is with us. His presence gives us joy every day. No, no, it's not an easy road. No, no, it's not an easy road. But Yahshua walks beside me and brightens the journey. And lightens every heavy load. It's not an easy road. There are trials and troubles, and many are the dangers we meet. But Yahshua guards and keeps so that nothing can harm us. Smooth the rugged path for our feet. No, no, it's not an easy road. No, no, it's not an easy road. But Yahshua walks beside us and brightens the journey, and lightens every heavy load. Though I am often footsore and weary from travel, though I am often bowed down with care, better day is coming, bring home in the glory. We'll rest in perfect peace over there. No, no, it's not an easy road. No, no, it's not an easy road. But Yahshua walks beside me and brightens the journey and lightens every heavy load.